Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
I think my views and opinions are affiliated with everyone.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Welcome to another edition of the Fifth Down College Football Show. I'm your host, Chris Dietz, along here with
Walrus.
And we have a jam-packed show for you today.
It's a fantastic show.
I'm sure it's a great week for the Walrus. For those of you that maybe are just tuning into our show, Walrus is a huge Miami, the U fan, so I'm sure he's riding high off his... his team's victory.
I'm higher than Amy Winehouse right now.
So we've got a lot of topics to get into. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump the show right off, and we're going to just jump right into our best and worst of the week. Our best of the week. We'll go right into that. We'll give you our winners, our losers from last week in college football, and then we'll jump into some of our topics. We'll hit you with a top 10, and we'll hit you with the preview of the upcoming games next week and give you our picks. So, got a lot to do. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always hook us up on our Facebook page, which is at The Fifth Down College Football Show. You can hit us up. You can post articles there. You can post comments about the show, comments about your team. We'll definitely talk about them during the week. I also post interesting stories that I read.
Well, you say they're interesting.
Well, yeah, I think they're interesting, which is why I post them. You know, I think other people might find them. I also post. I'll get into some other things that were posted on the page.
As long as you don't post news, we'll be all right.
I don't think we're going there. No one wants to see that.
Thank God.
Come on now. We're gonna. You can also contact the show. You can call us live. The phone number is 646-668-8467 if you want to be a part of the show and call up and harass us on the phone. We're more than happy to take the phone calls and just be prepared to make a bet with Walrus at the end of your phone call, because that seems to be the going rate for what happens here.
Yeah, you call in, you have to wager with the wall.
So we got that. If you're looking for the show, we do also go as a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also a part of the great AFS Radio Network. They're the ones that let us do this, so. They're pretty I want to say they're pretty amazing, but I think they're amazing for letting us do this. I don't know why they do.
Well,
but
I'm amazing.
why they let us knuckleheads on here and talk. But, they're AFS, really cool. Check them out. They got a lot of different shows on the network, so definitely hit them up. We're also available on iTunes, so you can go on there and download the podcast. And definitely, if you hear something on the show and you're listening as a podcast, go to the Facebook page. If something bothers you or there's something we didn't talk about or you want us to talk about something, hit us up. Hit us up on the Facebook page, and we'll definitely get to it. So those are the ways you can reach us. And with that, let's get the show started. Walrus, I know what your best of the week is, so I'm going to give you my best first, and then I'm going to cede my time to let the Walrus let the Walrus loose.
Wow.
Let the Walrus loose and let him share his best. But my best of the week was the best thing I saw in college football was definitely from your team, and I posted it on the website, and I was so glad to see this because it means that Swagger is back. It means the U is back. And when I saw that kid sack the quarterback and play and use Blackman's leg as an air guitar, that was it. I was like, Miami's got this. Don't worry about it. That was an awesome sight. It was good to see. It was a nice, fun celebration. I'm surprised Blackman didn't kick him in the face because if somebody
it's kind of hard to kick somebody in the face who's wearing a face mask.
Well, you
that could be why you didn't kick him in the face.
Could be, but yeah.
You never shoot football fights. You start punching somebody wearing a helmet.
Well, that's not the case. Somebody did that. I think it was LSU or something. I know I saw somebody did. No, it was I think it was an NFL guy. They got in a fight and he punched him in the face mask. And so yeah, that's usually not a good idea. So but I really thought the playing of the guitar, that was my favorite thing. The best game I saw this week, the best game of the weekend was, I don't know if you saw this one, but 7 overtimes in Buffalo with Western Michigan and Buffalo. The game finished 71-68. And so that was by far the best game of the weekend as far as an entertainment standpoint. That was my best game. And another best thing that I saw was just a moment in the Florida LSU game. Before the game, the Florida Gators did an awesome tribute to Tom Petty. And if you're listening to this show and you don't, I don't think I've ever met somebody who doesn't like Tom Petty. I've never met somebody who's like, oh, Tom Petty, this is terrible. Like, I thought it was awesome that they showed love to him. Tom Petty is a Gainesville native, so it felt good for Florida to get that done. And then, of course, they go out and lose the game, but that's beside the point. The tribute was awesome. And now, since I've given you a couple of bests, I am going to cede the floor to Walrus. What was your best of the weekend?
Well, I'm going to start with the second best thing I saw this weekend because that's what I want to do, and you just ceded the floor. There's not a damn thing you can do about it.
I've already given my time.
I think you know what the second best thing I saw this weekend was, and that was my good friends in Iowa.
Ooh.
Watched Iowa this weekend. Not probably one of like 18 people outside of the state of Iowa who watches Iowa. But they beat up on Illinois. And that makes me happy because if anybody who listens to the show knows, I love Iowa. That's what I do. I can't even explain it. I don't even know why I love Iowa, but I picked them and I love them. So now we're going to talk about the best thing Laura saw.
Always the best thing you saw this week.
Well,
that's what I've been waiting for.
The best thing I saw all week was down in Trailer Happy. Was my beloved Canes ended a losing streak, and they did it by the scoreboard physicality. They kicked their shit out of Florida State. Florida State played a great game. Miami was definitely Should have won by a lot more. You know, everyone said, oh, they were facing a backup quarterback. Let's be honest, it's Florida State's backup quarterback. A backup quarterback at Florida State probably starts at 100 other FBS schools. But it filled my heart with joy. I sat back. I enjoyed an adult beverage or nine. And I thoroughly enjoyed every single time one of those guys put on the turnover chain. Because they went out and beat Florida State, I purchased a turnover chain. I have one, and it's on the way.
There you go. Oh, that's you got to rock that out.
Oh yeah, there'll be
turnover chain.
There'll be pictures on our Facebook page once it comes in. Walrus now owns a turnover chain, and that's pretty much the best thing I saw all weekend.
Going into the best thing of the week, we're gonna break down more on the Miami Florida State game. We'll get into that as we move on through the show here, because we've got some things to do. But here's we all know about your love for Miami, and what did you think on that final play? Because that was where I thought you were going. Because that, not only was it a close game, but that catch was amazing. Jumping over
play.
A guy and having the wherewithal to reach the ball out over the end zone.
And I don't even know why they reviewed it, and it's not because of Miami fan. I don't see what even they were looking at. To me, there was at no point could they have ruled it anything but a touchdown.
Well, I think they said that they said the call – on the field, they said the call on the field is confirmed, which means they looked at it and they saw it. I think they had to look at it there as just a point of reference, because if they didn't look at it, then everybody at Florida State and anybody who's not, you know, anybody who is just looking at that as looking to rain on Miami's parade. Anybody who
everyone
looking for
in the
that.
NCAA wants to rain in Miami's parade. It's the most rained on parade there is.
Well,
fuck you guys. We put on some rain jackets. We had our parade anyway.
Well, that's why they had to look at it. They had to review it, and they did, and they confirmed it as a touchdown. So I didn't think it was an issue. Once they called touchdown, once I saw the play, I said, this is getting reviewed, so it's not – shouldn't even bother discussing it yet. Just wait
for
the call.
Considering you brought that up, I'm going to rewind that about a minute, and I want to talk about one of the worst things I ever saw. And that's on Florida State's go-ahead touchdown drive. Apparently, no one on the Miami defense thought they should cover that kid. I could have completed that pass, and I certainly am not a Division I quarterback. I probably could barely quarterback your kid's Pee Wee football team. And I am quite confident, even in those circumstances, I was completing that pass. There was no more than 8 yards of it.
I think there was there. I would like to know what the I would like to know what the communication was, and what
I
what
don't
the,
think
what
there
the,
was
the,
any.
I would like to know what the play was on the field, because if you watch that play again,
the only way that makes sense. The play was leave him open and get us the ball back.
Well, the safety is running to the flat, so
the safety, everyone ran into the flat. There were safety, two linebackers.
The safety ran to the flat, and the corner let the receiver go. So there was some kind of confusion between whether they were in man coverage or whether they were in zone coverage. And the only people who know that are Manny Diaz and the people in the huddle. And I tend to think that it was the safety who got confused, because the corner turned around and he looked like he was going to punch somebody. I thought there was going to be an old school style, like Miami fight that we were used to seeing back in the day. I thought the corner was going to kill the safety. But turns out they're able to go down the field, score, and win the game, which is a good segue to our winners of the week. My winners of the week, I know, don't get mad at me when I don't have a certain team in the winners of this week, and there's a reason for it.
Let me guess, you don't have Iowa in there?
There's a couple reasons why I don't have Iowa in, but there's a reason why I don't have your team in, and we'll get to that.
Typical.
We'll get to that.
On Iowa.
So the first winner I have of the week.
I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. If anybody out there actually has nothing else to do when you're listening to us, if you would support Iowa, if you would call in, I want to know if I'm the only one ever that has any kind of love for Iowa.
So if you've got love for Iowa, come on in, give us a call, 646-668-8467. Give us a call. Or if you think Walrus is crazy, call him and tell him why his love for Iowa is crazy. We'll take that too. We're all for it. But my first winner of the week is Stanford. A lot of people probably didn't see this game because it was Stanford and Utah, and it was played late at night on Saturday. But Stanford went into Utah, which typically people would say, "Oh, that's not a big deal. It's Stanford. Stanford should be beating these up." But Utah was undefeated on the season. They were rolling, and Stanford went in and punched them right in the mouth. And the thing that makes them a big winner this week is Bryce Love had another 200-yard game, another big performance. He's probably put himself right on the cusp of the Heisman level. We all know Saquon Barkley is basically dominating college football right now, but Bryce Love has put himself right there with Saquon Barkley as the top performers in college football right now. And if Bryce Love continues to play this way and Saquon struggles in some of his games, then you could be looking at Bryce Love as a Heisman Trophy candidate. So he put himself on the map. And Stanford, even though they have two losses, only one of them is in the Pac-12 right now. So they're still a one-loss Pac-12 team, so they can still challenge for that Pac-12 North shot at the Pac-12 title game. So playing Utah was a big, big step for them to get back into that race. My number two winner this week was TCU. TCU played probably the biggest game of the weekend, playing against West Virginia. And not just TCU winning that game, but also because Oklahoma lost. Now TCU is in the driver's seat for the Big 12.
I want to be in the driver's seat.
I would want to be in the driver's seat for the Big 12. Look at all the stuff the Big 12's got to deal with. Riding shotgun with a mullet.
Dude, you're getting to ride around with a mullet. Defense is optional.
So that's why TCU sneaks into the winner's spot this week. Because other teams lost around them, and they're now the big dogs in the Big 12. And TCU is now on the map for going forward. They probably have one of the better chances of sneaking into that top four college football playoff because of what they have on the schedule left, and because a lot of the teams in front of them, a couple of the teams play each other or are slated to play each other, so they're going to knock each other off, and TCU might be able to sneak right in if they can keep it up. My third winner is another late game that probably it was actually on in prime time this week, but But the game ended. The game ended pretty late. But Washington State continued their dominance. I watched that entire. I watched the entire game against Oregon because I wanted to see Oregon and see if they were for real, and they weren't. Washington State's defense.
Oregon real complaint was backup quarterback. So you can't say they weren't technically for real.
They didn't give much in the way of any kind of resistance to Washington State. Washington State kind of dominated what I saw dominated that, even if it's not on the scoreboard, they kind of dominated the whole game. And defensively, Washington State stood up to them. And that was the big deal for me, that Washington State's defense was able to find a way to really shut down and stifle the Ducks' offense. So now Washington State is on a big stage. Now they beat USC. They were able to come back on the road in Autzen Stadium. That was also a thing I wanted to see, was how Washington State handled the they were getting all the praise, all the love after beating USC, and that was a huge game at home. And then it's always tough to go on the road in college football the next week and perform like Washington State did. So they're my third winner. My biggest winner of the week, though, was Thursday night. A lot of people probably missed this game because there was a lot going on Thursday night. But North Carolina State made a statement on Thursday night. That
against your Heisman Trophy favorite.
Against Lamar Jackson, they were able to shut down Louisville, and they were able to come away with that game. They're now the third best team in the ACC. You have to put them right there. They've already beaten Louisville. They've already beaten Florida State. They've set up a tough matchup with Clemson. But if they're able to beat Clemson, they're in the driver's seat for being a representative in the ACC title game. So you wouldn't have thought that before this Louisville game, and that's why NC State is my biggest winner this week, because they gained the most out of that win. Anything you see wrong with my list here?
There's one I got to put on there. It's actually not the Hurricanes, and the only reason I put it on there is because I picked it on last week's show, and I believe you asked me if I was smoking the funny stuff. I hedged a little bit at the end when I said I wouldn't bet it. But I believe it came out of my mouth that Michigan State was going to pull the upset.
You said it, and then you changed at the end. At the end of the show, you picked Michigan with the wallet.
I picked Michigan with the wallet, but
you said the heart wants Michigan State, but the wallet says Michigan, and you went with Michigan. And I tried to get you out of that. I tried to say, no, you got to stick with it. But I'm going to get to them, and there's the same reason I left them off is the same reason I left your Hurricanes off that list.
Is because I think that means that the Walrus was actually the big winner, because if they're not beating Michigan State, I'm not putting in any fucking khakis and any goofy hat.
Well, we got all next week to all next week is going to be all about khakis in Michigan next week. So we're going to get ready for that. For those of you that didn't listen to our inaugural show, the Walrus has made a bet that if Penn State beats Michigan, not this weekend but the following Saturday, if Michigan wins, the Walrus will be dressing up as Jim Harbaugh and in the khakis with the hat on.
And it will be on the Facebook page.
We'll get the pictures. We'll put them up. And so that's where Walrus is going with that. But speaking of Michigan, and the Michigan State game. Let's go on. Let's move on to the losers of the week. My first loser of the week is Oklahoma. Obviously, Oklahoma at home gets beat by Iowa State, and for some reason, this was a shock to the national media that Oklahoma's defense was not as good as advertised. Well, if you've been listening to this show, our theme of the Big 12, Walrus, is
defense optional.
Yes. So I was not surprised that Oklahoma's defense got shredded. I was more surprised that Baker Mayfield was not able to lead his team down for that final drive. And that's going to be something that comes back to haunt him later on. But I only have them in a loser category. I don't have them as the biggest loser, even though they fell the farthest. They're still not out of a lot. They're still in it as far as one-loss teams are concerned. And I had this debate with somebody. I had this debate with somebody on Facebook earlier in the week who tried to say, oh, if Oklahoma and Ohio State finish with one loss, Ohio State will be ranked higher than Oklahoma. And I tried to figure out their logic behind that because Oklahoma beat Ohio State head-to-head, and that will matter. And then, you know, the whole argument came to, oh, well, our schedule is so much harder. Ohio State's schedule is so much harder than Oklahoma. And then I had to school him and actually list out, no, Oklahoma still has to play TCU. They get TCU not once, but maybe twice, which will be big. They get Oklahoma State maybe once, maybe twice. So Oklahoma still has a lot left to do, and they have a lot left on their schedule. And when it comes down to it, that win at Ohio State, if it comes down to a one-loss Oklahoma and a one-loss Ohio State, a one-loss, you know, any other team, probably except for Clemson, or not Clemson, except for Auburn, if it's a one-loss, if it's a one-loss team, Oklahoma's probably going to win that argument when they look at the head-to-head non-conference schedule. But like I said, now Oklahoma has to hope that other teams lose. They don't control their own destiny, so that's why they're on my list as a loser. And also, if you're an Oklahoma fan right now, you have to start becoming an Alabama fan this instant, because you have to hope that Alabama beats Auburn, that Alabama crushes Georgia in the SEC title game, and that knocks both of them out of the way. And you're going to have to hope for somebody to slip up, for Penn State to slip up, or for Washington to slip up. And that way you get, as long as all the other teams have one loss, as long as none of the other teams are undefeated, Oklahoma's probably going to win that. So you've got to start becoming a fan of other teams and a big fan of Alabama, because they can knock two dogs out. They can knock two guys out in front of you, and you got to hope for that. My second loser of the week is why I didn't mention Michigan State, because my loser is Michigan.
Stupid khaki-wearing coach.
We came on I just sent this out right before we went on the show, and we have been ahead of the curve on a many, many things on this show, and I will go through. I actually have something to go through with them later, but I believe it was our first episode where we said, "What?" I know I said this, and where I said, why is there so much love for Jim Harbaugh? And the media fawned over Jim Harbaugh. Fawned over him. That he was the greatest thing to college football. And now after losing to Michigan State, he's now the media's turned around. Oh, you know, maybe he's not the greatest thing in football. Maybe he's not the greatest coach. Harbaugh, this stat is amazing. Harbaugh is 1-4 against Ohio State and Michigan State in his career at Michigan. His predecessor, Brady Hoke, 2-3.
Listen, I was so, never the Jim Harbaugh type of train.
So, we on this show, we were never on that. We were ahead of the curve saying, hey, you need to relax. He needs to win some big games before we crown him. And
you want to crown him? Then crown his ass.
And now everybody's starting to turn around.
Jim Harbaugh is who we said he is. He is who we said he is.
But getting off Jim Harbaugh, the offense was terrible in Michigan. Five turnovers.
Would you go as far as to say his offense was offensive?
They were offensive. If I was on that defense, I would be offended because the defense held Michigan State, but the offense kept turning the ball over. And now word out there is that Wilton Spates, the original starting quarterback, he's not coming back. What I've heard is that he has broken vertebrae. So I'm pretty sure he's done, if not his career. He's obviously done for the season, but you're talking about he might never take another snap for Michigan. So Michigan's got a lot to work out, and luckily this week they get Indiana, so you know they've got, which we found out the opening week, Indiana's not necessarily a pushover.
It's not your granddad's Indiana.
They're not a pushover, but they can at least get a game in, work some things out before they have to go in and play Penn State and try to win one. So Walrus has to dress up as Jim Harbaugh.
I am not going to have to dress up as Jim Harbaugh.
So we got that. My third loser of the week is Florida. Florida lost on a last-second field goal to LSU.
I come to the conclusion while we're talking about this game, I think LSU is bipolar.
They're absolutely bipolar. You never know what.
Nobody knows what is going
nobody
on.
Nobody knows. Though. Nobody knows what team's going to show up. Nobody even knows what quarter is going to show up. They're just, you don't know what they're going to do. And part of that is because they have such inconsistent quarterback play that you don't know how they're going to do. Like, why teams just don't load up the box and say, all right, let Etling throw the ball. If Etling beats you by throwing the ball, you take that loss. You just don't let Darius Geis get loose. And LSU can't do anything. We talked about LSU last week. Congrats to them. They clawed. They came out of the swamp with a victory. That's always a big deal. But for Florida, that was a big loss because now they have to run the table. They have to beat Georgia. Georgia's a must win. But they also cannot afford to lose another game. Otherwise, they will not see the SEC title game again. But again, same thing with Oklahoma. They're not out of it yet. They've still got a big game that, like I said, with Georgia, they got Georgia on the schedule. That's always a party, the world's largest tailgate party. And that will be – so they're not the biggest loser. Now to my biggest loser, which we're going to stay in the same state. And it's the reason why I didn't put the Hurricanes in as a winner, because my biggest loser is Florida State.
Florida State's bad.
Florida State is now 1-3. And not only are they 1-3, but they've also lost the game due to the Hurricane. So there's a win off the schedule.
from the way they play, are you sure it's a win off the schedule?
Well, even if it's not, you have to think about it. You need 6 wins to make a bowl game. So they've still got Louisville and Clemson on the schedule. I can pretty much say with confidence that Clemson is going to destroy Florida State if they keep playing the same way they're playing. So that's a loss. If they lose to Louisville, that's five losses right there. They're not even gonna make a bowl game. They're on the verge of not being bowl eligible for the first time in God knows how long. I probably should look this up when the last time Florida State was not in a bowl game. But
Keith, are you listening, Keith? Give me a call, shoot me a text, tell me about Florida State.
That to me is why they're the biggest loser, because right now they're in jeopardy of not playing after Thanksgiving. Their season is going to be over, and
I certainly wouldn't be upset about that.
It's going to be a long, long off season in Tallahassee. Based on that, so to recap, my biggest winner was NC State, and my biggest loser was Florida State. So we're pretty much all ACC in that segment. Anything you think on the losers of the week?
I'd like to add a small loser.
Go redhead.
Mark Walton, running back for the Miami Hurricanes.
Ooh. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up in our game preview, but that's a big loss.
He's a loss.
That is a big loss.
For those of you that don't know, Walton was injured and had to have ankle surgery, so his season – did they announce that it's season-ending?
Yeah, Mark Richt said that.
Said it's season-ending, because they said he'll miss – he was going to have ankle surgery, and they were going to see if he could make it back for the bowl game.
Well, I mean, college doesn't have an IR, so, I mean, you know, if there's a – 10% chance he's eligible if they make the national championship game.
Yeah. So we'll see. Well, you know, I think that's a big loss for Miami, and we'll get into that when we do our game previews. But for our next segment, the next thing we usually do, so the next thing I wanted to do was before we do this, I'm gonna go into what I was talking about before. The Fifth Down College Football Show. We are ahead of the curve.
For Jesus.
And we've been ahead of the curve. Like I said, we were ahead of the curve on Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. We were ahead of the curve on that.
We were ahead of the curve on Nebraska. Fire
me. We were ahead of the curve on Nebraska. I pretty much said it, and the next morning it happened.
You guys need breaking college football news. You come to us.
We're making the news. We're not even reporting it. We're just breaking it.
We don't have the ESPN's budget.
That being said, I believe in our first rant of the show, I believe I said the words, the preseason poll is garbage.
I believe that was
how I opened the show. So on Monday morning, I get a little email of a story, and it was from Pat Forty, who writes for Yahoo Sports.
I'm familiar with Pat Forty.
The title of his article was "Preseason Polls Are Garbage."
Well, do you think it's possible Pat Forty listened to our show?
I think he could have listened that from our very first show, because I read the whole article. I actually posted it on the Facebook page. I said, I'm pretty sure I said this. And the whole article was about how – it was basically about how Michigan was ranked high and TCU was ranked low, so we can't trust the polls. And I was just like, Pat, come on. I said this. Everyone knows this. So that was one thing we were ahead of the curve on. The second thing we were ahead of the curve on was 2 weeks ago when I hosted this show by myself. The rant on the show was about the targeting rule. Today, literally, what is it? It's 8:30 now. At 5:45 Eastern on ESPN's College Football Live, Desmond Howard and David Pollack both were asked the question, what's the deal with the targeting rule? And Desmond Howard's first thing was, I don't like that people are ejected and they need to change this rule. I believe those were my exact words said. So we were, again, ahead of the curve on that.
You need to be ejected.
So we're ahead of the curve. So if you're listening to this show, you're in the know. You need to spread some love of our show. Spread it to your college football friends, because this is where you can come for your breaking college football news. And we'll give it to you before it happens. That's how we roll. So there was an interesting debate brought up during the week by our favorite coach. The mullet I don't know if you saw this this interview with or it wasn't an interview, it was his at his press conference. So the mullet, Mike Gundy, decides he's given his usual media session, and he said that the Big 12 is great because there's a lot of parity in the league, which brought up an interesting debate. Is parity good for college football? I don't think it's good for a conference to have parity. I think he's wrong on that. You don't want your conference to have parity. As a fan, watching football, you do. But if you're a fan of Oklahoma State, if you're a fan of TCU, you don't want the other teams in your conference to be a hard every week, because A, you're playing tough competition every week, but B, you're going to muddle everybody together. Instead of pushing if he had come out and said, Oklahoma's a really good team. When Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma, if they beat them, now you can say, hey, we beat a really good team, rather than, oh, we beat teams that are close to us. You get what I'm saying, Walrus?
I get what you're saying. I'm on the opposite spectrum, and that's why I'm here. Parity seems to work out great for the SEC. They're not even the greatest conference anymore, but they were the greatest conference. You're like, oh, well, you lost two games, but you lost it in the SEC.
But has it really? I mean, and is there really parity?
It doesn't matter if it really is. All that matters is perception.
I get that, but I don't, also, if a team loses, you look at how the rankings are. If you lose a game, you're done. You're out of, one loss puts you at a severe disadvantage in a lot of these conferences. If you're looking at, if you're projecting down the road, I mean, for if you want to contend for national titles, you really have to go, you can't have more than one loss. We've never seen a team with more than one loss get in. So you've really gotta. So that's where I think parity, yes, good for the average fan, but as far as if you're a fan of your team winning the title, you want to have one or two big name programs, and you want to be one of those two big name programs. Like in the ACC, you want Clemson to be this unbelievable team, because when Miami plays Clemson, people are going to think that's a big game. If Clemson goes in, you know, if Clemson and Miami meet in the championship and both, and let's say Miami's undefeated, but Clemson has two or three losses, now you're looking at that game and you're saying, well, the undefeated team's supposed to win that game. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So the perception can hurt you also.
But it doesn't. Because those are ACC losses and there's no parity in the ACC. If you look at, or we're going to go with lately, the SEC has been among the better conferences. When you lost to Alabama and you were at Auburn, or an Auburn beat Alabama, Texas A&M beat, like, well, you're playing the SEC. You're going to have those games because every team is good. Nobody is going to give you the benefit of the doubt if you're in the ACC and you go lose to Wake Forest.
Well, I think that's where the parity argument came from when they were talking about, you know, losses in the conference. I think they were talking about Oklahoma. We'll take last week. Oklahoma losing to Iowa State. Now that shows the parity in the Big 12, but it also brings everybody down because your top team.
One game does not parity make.
But your top team was brought down by a lesser team. So that's where it hurts them.
Yeah, you got to factor in a lot of things. A spread offense is a great equalizer. That's why a lot of teams went to the spread offense. It is a great equalizer. And like I said, one game does parity not make. Nobody is going to confuse Iowa State with Oklahoma. They had a game. Everyone's entitled to having a game. It happens every year. But no one's all going to say, well, maybe Iowa State's the class of the Big 12. No, not going
to. Yeah. I agree with that. I just think for the championship, when we start getting it, when we start seeing, and they had this on ESPN on Tuesday, they had the playoff chase where they, you know, previewed who they think are going to be the top four teams, and we're going to get that, I think in a couple weeks, they start ramping that up where they release the playoff rankings on Tuesdays, which is garbage. They should just do it. Just do it when the poll comes out at the end of the season. That's the only time you need to release that. Not every week for 10 weeks as we get down to it. But I you know, when we're looking at championships, when we're looking at will your conference, and this is why it's so big coming from a Big 12. The Big 12 is the conference that probably gets left out the most out of anybody. I mean, TCU a couple of years ago, they were the number, I think they were number three in the coaches poll, and they were left out.
It's really goddamn poll.
And they were left. And they were left out of the. And the committee left them out because they said, "Oh, they play in the Big 12," and that's again, you know, the perception. Was that the Big 12 was not as good because they had so many teams with, because so many teams were losing to each other and whatnot. So, again, that's my point on it. My point is, as far as if you want your team to go to the championship, you want to have a dominant team in your conference. And you want that championship level. You want that championship style team. You want them to be a bell cow. You want them to be an Alabama, a Texas, an Oklahoma, a USC, a team that has
an Iowa.
If you can beat Iowa, you'll get the love from the Walrus, because we all know how Walrus feels about Iowa.
Iowa's a new barometer. All right, you're nobody unless you can beat Iowa.
Nobody. You're nobody till you beat Iowa.
If you haven't beat Iowa, don't talk to me.
All right.
Have you beat Iowa? No, you haven't beat Iowa.
Another topic I got on here, which is interesting. Walrus, did you see the rant? Did you see the rant by Mike Leach?
No.
Oh God, I posted it on the website. Everybody, go to Facebook, look up the Fifth Down College Football Show. you'll see all the videos we have there. I have video of this, and I also have an article about it. Mike Leach, one of our one of my favorites. I don't want to lump Wallace
Mike
in there.
Looks
one of my favorites. He is turning into, and probably always has been, I just haven't paid attention to him that much, but he's turning into one of my favorite listens. I love listening to him talk to the media and talk about football, because he's a funny guy. And he went on a 10-minute rant about the playoff system and basically said, again, us being ahead of the curve, Walrus said this when we talked about the playoff first, they should expand the playoff. But Leach went absolutely crazy with it and said, why not just make it 64 teams and we'll go with a 64-team playoff. Let's do it. And he went on this whole diatribe of it, and it was hilarious.
I'm just saying Mike Leach might be eligible to coach for the Dolphins.
He was hilarious. But his idea of expanding the playoffs, not bad in theory, but it's like I said when we first talked about expanding the playoff, it doesn't matter. You could put as many teams as you want in the playoff. You're still going to have the problem of, well, this team got in and this team didn't. And
well, you could expand it. No. And Mike Leach might have a point. But a 64 playoff team might seem a little absurd, and it is. But around 64 teams, you're running out of bowl eligibility for as far as teams. So if you're not eligible for a bowl, I think at some point, all right, maybe you shouldn't make the playoffs. Nobody's clamoring for Marshall to be in the playoffs.
I think his real point was there should be a 16. I think he said a lot of things, and he did say, why can't we just have 64 teams? Why not? And, you know, he said it kind of jokingly, but I think his overall point after listening to him and reading the article was that the reason for not expanding is, oh, the season's too long or people get exhausted over it. Well, that's just not the case. I mean, and Mike Leach is absolutely right. If the playoff were 16 teams, everybody would – I would watch all 14. I would watch all 15 games, okay? I would watch all 8 entry games. I would watch all 4 the next week. I would watch all the next 2 games, and I would watch the championship. I would be all in.
I would watch probably about 6 of them. I'd watch the 2 semifinal games. I'd watch the championship game, so I'm halfway to my 6. I'd watch Miami. I'd watch Iowa.
I would watch them all, and I would love them all because I watch all the games now. I watch as many games as I can, and they're not playoff games, so I agree with Mike Leach.
You don't watch as many games as you can. You don't even watch Iowa.
I have watched Iowa. I have watched 4 Iowa games this year.
That's not enough.
They need to be on TV for me to watch them. I'm not.
You gotta subscribe to the Iowa Network.
I don't have the dish. I don't have the Big Ten Network to be able to watch Iowa. But speaking of which, Walrus, you're playing right into my hand here. So moving on from Mike Leach's playoff rant, because that was fun. There was a rant on there was a little bit of a brawl on game day this past weekend. And I don't know how many people are up to date on the situation out in Washington, but Washington coach Chris Peterson was complaining about his schedule. And he was complaining because Washington does not play a game that does not start after 5:45 Pacific time. That's 8 that's 8:45 Eastern time. They don't play a game. So they don't play a game in a regular market. All their games that are seen out here, and we're in Connecticut, so out here on the East Coast, that's cool. So all the games that he plays, every time I've watched a Washington game, it's been 10 o'clock at night, and the game doesn't end until 2 in the morning. And Chris Peterson said, the quote was, "This hurts us in recruiting. It hurts us in exposure. We don't get seen enough." And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right.
Well, who's his beef with? Who's he complaining about?
Well, so he's complaining. He's saying, you know, we want to play some games during the day so that those East Coast, when we go to recruit guys on the East Coast, we can say, hey, look, we're going to play some games and guys are going to be able to see you.
So why don't you tell his agent to call Florida State? Because he's a game.
Well, here's the problem. So he says this. And then Kirk Herbstreit on game day took him to task and said, you know what? You know what, Chris? You need to thank ESPN for putting your games on TV no matter what time they're on. Even if you're on late, who cares if you're on 10 o'clock? At least people are able to find you. If you're playing the 4 o'clock game on the Pac-12 network, not many people are going to watch it. Which Herbstreit's correct in that, but he's also extremely wrong. And here's why. Even if Washington were able to play a game that people didn't see, all right, they play a game on the Pac-12 network. Let's say they play a 3:30 game, out here east, 1 o'clock out west. They play a 1 o'clock game, all right? During that time, you have games on CBS, games on AC, games on ESPN, games on ESPN2. So your
Fox
games.
Fox Sports 1.
You have a bunch of these games going on. And during that game, you're going to have people saying, how many times? Just watch this weekend. Just watch how many times they go, well, let's look at the top 10 list. This team plays this team. This team is playing right now. This team is. And you might say, hey, Washington is playing California right now, and they're beating them 34-0. And then you go to halftime. You want to see the highlights of that game. Now you're seeing the highlights. If you play a 10 o'clock game, you don't have highlights at halftime of the other games. You don't have any – nobody's seeing that. Most people aren't seeing it until maybe 8 o'clock the next morning when they get up for SportsCenter or, you know – or, you know, they get up or their next local news break. So in that aspect, Chris Peterson's absolutely right. You can recruit through that because recruits watch the games and they see, oh, Washington's destroying somebody, or they see a great play from the Washington team. That can help them recruit down the road. So I think Chris Peterson's beef was absolutely correct. And I think Herbstreit was kind of, I'll say, he was kind of a dick. I mean, oh, you should be thanking ESPN. No. How about you play our game at 8 o'clock? Or hey, put our game on at 3:30. We'd rather do that and be part of the discussion all day long.
Nobody doesn't want that. You put a game on at 3:30, that's a noon kickoff out there. You're not going to fill up your student body section at noon.
They'll show up.
You're not going to get the crowd you want out there. Second thing, you got to factor in the time difference. You can't have a noon kickoff every week.
No.
Or if you want to go to halftime when the noon game's over here, go to kickoff. You want a 9:30 in the morning kickoff?
No.
What the hell?
No.
Chris Peterson's a jackass. If he has a problem, he should call his AD and tell him to get a set of balls and schedule a team on the East Coast if he wants to play in that time. Tell them to come over here. Tell them to come play Clemson. Tell them to come play Miami. Tell them to come play anybody who's over here playing on the East Coast.
This is true.
Come play Ohio State. But no, he wants to play his little Pac-12 schools, and he wants everyone to come visit him.
I think that's the life of college football. That's how you do it. And when you're Washington, you can do that.
What's Washington do that? Who the hell is Washington?
Because they're number 6 in the country. That's why. And they started there.
Who the hell gives Washington any kind of clout? Washington.
Pac-12 from reigning Pac-12 champs.
And that doesn't mean anything.
That's what they are. That's why they. That's why they.
Loud and start whining. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Think this is why it's a good debate.
Not a debate. Chris Peters is a fucking ass clown.
There you go. You got your clown. You call somebody clown again. You got your quota up. You met your quota.
He's a moron. He's a buffoon. He's a buffoon of the highest order.
All right.
Now he's got me up. Now he's got
the walrus walking around the studio. Pace in the studio because Chris Peterson had the cojones to take on the network. The
what
network.
The cojones? It was the stupidity.
Last topic I want to get into was the media cycle in the preseason was the sour. The media cycle was, this is the year of the quarterback. The quarterbacks are great this year. This is one of the greatest quarterback classes of all time. Well, guess what? This week, going into this week, I only see one, possibly one quarterback making the Heisman, making the trip, if one even makes the trip to
Luke Falk.
And it's probably Luke Falk. Luke Falk's probably in the discussion right now. I would say Baker Mayfield is still has his chance. I think he's got the clout to do it. To get himself back into the race, but I have him fifth on my Heisman Trophy list. Four running backs. I think running back has absolutely dominated this year in college football. What would you say to that?
I might have him fifth, but he's not my only quarterback I have up there. I would still put one of the.
I'll just go through my Heisman. Saquon Barkley. I got Barkley. He's obviously he's the best player in college football. There's no question about it. Second, I got Bryce Love. Talked about him before. If he keeps the streak up of getting 200 yards a game, he's gonna be the only challenge for Barkley. I got Penny, the kid from Auburn, because he runs all over the place. And my fourth one is a guy who just chugs along, Nick Chubb. I had Nick Chubb in Georgia. I mean, how are they?
He gives those people in Georgia. I bet he gives them a little chub.
I mean, Georgia is kept alive because of that running game and because of Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and the new kid Swift. So I think Nick Chubb gets passed over because everybody says, oh, well, they've got three good, you know, they've got that three-headed monster. But Nick Chubb is really the guy that gets them going. So I've got him fourth on my Heisman list. And then I've got Baker Mayfield. And my fifth one, I actually didn't have Luke Falk on there yet. But I definitely could see him getting there. But I definitely would put Kelly Bryant in there from Clemson. I think if they continue to dominate, they could be Kelly Bryant's name could definitely be tossed into the mix as we keep that going. But I think it's amazing that in this kind of a climate where it was supposed to be quarterback dominated, four out of my top five are running backs, and I don't think it's even that close. I don't, you know.
Well, 2 weeks ago, you said it wasn't that close and Lamar Jackson was getting the Heisman.
No, I said Lamar Jackson if he plays well against Clemson, and he didn't. And to that.
You wanted to give him the damn trophy before he played it down, before he played a snap.
Before the season, yeah. I thought so. But then the season started. But But like I said, I'll admit it, even I was in it. I think when we talked Heisman, I think the only guy we brought up was Saquon Barkley for Heisman. I mean, we brought up Darnold. We brought up Lamar Jackson. We brought up Mayfield. We brought up all these quarterbacks. The quarterback of Iowa. You got to remember, you got to know who he is. Even in Iowa, I'll take your Iowa. Their best player is the running back.
Love Iowa.
Their best player is the running back.
He runs with his feet on the ground.
All right. So we're getting towards the end here. So now, moving off the Heisman Trophy, let's move into top 10. Let's move into the top 10 because that's, you know,